This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Earls Oconee Historical Society. Jean Hogvedt's autobiography continues today. As we ended last week's story, Jean had just married Glenn Robinson. He wanted her to accompany him and his father as they worked on a road construction crew. They got married in a small ceremony at the Robinson home and moved into a little trailer house in the Robinson yard. A short time later, they moved the trailer house to the gravel pit near Fox, where road construction was about to start. They worked for the Holland Peterson Construction Company. Glenn and his dad had worked on road construction other summers, but it was new to Jean. She spent most of her time in the little trailer house cooking on a little gas range so they'd have meals ready when they stopped to eat. Jean said they were always in a hurry because they were paid by the number of yards of gravel they hauled in a day. Glenn and his dad boasted about how many loads Old Betsy could haul in a day. Old Betsy was the name they used when they talked about the truck. They were both pretty proud of what they could accomplish with it. That summer, we followed the construction company as far as Lancaster. Since I could not drive, the men did the grocery shopping with my help. They knew what they liked to eat, which was mostly meat and potatoes and gravy. I could cook that. We got along famously. They never complained about my cooking, although I suppose there was a lot to be desired in the way I cooked their meals. I was not experienced in the culinary art. Late in the fall, we moved the trailer house back to the Robinsons' backyard. We lived there until after Christmas, when we moved the trailer house out to the lumber camp east of Warroad. By that time, I was pregnant. Late that fall of 1941, Jean went to see Dr. Jack to confirm her pregnancy. He had just joined his father, Dr. J.L. Delmore Sr., who had been a physician for many years in Earls Oconee. Jean said he looked at her and said, "Oh, a heavyweight." She weighed less than 100 pounds and was short besides. He confirmed the pregnancy and warned her about gaining too much weight with the baby since she was so small. All their close family members were pretty excited to hear the news. Jean wrote to her sister Mary, who had moved to British Columbia with her husband Fred. He was working on construction of a highway through the Canadian Rockies. Mary and the girls lived where there was no school, and the girls were taking correspondence lessons in their home. The northern part of British Columbia was just beginning to be settled because of the highway. Jean's brother Bud, with whom she had last lived in 1933, about 8 years earlier, was in the Royal Canadian Air Force and stationed in Scotland. She heard from him occasionally. Her dad was still in Viking, Alberta, living in a shack beside the blacksmith's shop where he worked. She didn't hear much from him anymore other than sometimes at Christmas, but she was happy with her new family life. In the spring, after the work in the woods was finished, they parked the trailer house in Robinson's backyard, and the men started building a house for Jean and Glenn. It was on a farm in Stokes Township, about 5 miles from the city of Badger, a quarter mile off the main road. It was on a ditch grade, so the men had to level it off before it could be used for a driveway. Holes where the water stood had to be filled in. Glenn and his dad spent all their spare time getting the place ready for occupancy. When delivery was at hand, Jean went to Bud Hospital. Dr. Jack said the baby had turned and was now breech. He hoped to help reverse that during delivery. Finally, Jean was wheeled into the delivery room, and her confidence in Dr. Jack was rewarded with the safe delivery of a baby daughter on August 14, 1942, weighing 5 pounds and 12 ounces. They named her Ruth Mary, and Glenn's parents were thereafter called Grandma and Grandpa Robinson. That fall, they moved to the farm in Badger with their trailer house while the men worked on the house. It was soon finished with tar paper on the outside instead of siding. Electricity didn't come to the Badger area until 6 years later, so they heated the house and cooked with wood and used gas-powered lights in the kitchen and scrubbed clothes on a washboard in a big tub and hung them outside to dry in the summer and inside on ropes stretched between the walls in the winter. She baked bread and churned butter, as did many farm wives in this area at that time. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.